the best and the brightest.
Opportunities.
The next idea.
We're going to find that these social and cultural factors really add a lot to economic growth.
How do we meet everyone's basic needs and assure demand for what the economy can produce, especially knowing that increased automation and technology are taking jobs, they're going to take jobs, and we eventually may not have enough jobs for people? Our latest contributor to The Next Idea offers up an intriguing idea, basic income grants. Thomas Weisskopf is a professor emeritus of economics at the University of Michigan. It is a pleasure to welcome you to The Next Idea.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, in layperson's terms, Professor, what is a basic income grant?
The essential idea of a basic income grant is that funds would be made available to every citizen of the country in question or the wherever people are living, and without any conditions whatsoever. They could use it in any way they would like.
Where would the money come from?
Certainly it has to come from somewhere, and there are a variety of possible sources. Obviously, the government would be a major source in every case, but where the government would get the money would depend on the situation. It could be through taxation. It could be through the proceeds from a valuable natural resource. The state of Alaska has been paying grants to every citizen for four decades now out of revenues from their oil industry.
And is the idea behind this the fact that we don't have enough jobs for people to make a good living?
Yes, that is the reason that it's currently growing in popularity and interest. The idea of the basic income grant goes back centuries, actually. Thomas Paine had an idea like that at the time of the American Revolution, and others have promoted the idea usually as a kind of way of achieving social justice, enabling every citizen, every person to lead a decent life. So it's been very popular on the left for a while. But now it's come into its own because we're confronting some new problems that suggest that existing means of trying to enable people to survive in the economic world are not working as well as they used to.
Truthfully, this sounds like something that would make most conservatives and maybe even some liberals drop their jaws in disbelief. So social justice aside, Professor, what is in this to recommend it to conservative policymakers?
Well, you're absolutely right that if it's going to get anywhere, it'll have to appeal across the spectrum. And one of the interesting things about the idea is that it does have appeal across the spectrum. Interestingly enough, this idea first surfaced in American public policy circles in the early 1970s under the Nixon administration. There was a proposal for a negative income tax, which would mean just as you tax people who have a good income, a certain percentage, and people who have a very high income, an even higher percentage of their income. The idea here was that if people have very low incomes and really can't survive on them, they should receive a refund from the government, which would be financed partly out of the taxes that better off people were paying. And that was promoted by a conservative government. Indeed, the idea went back to Milton Friedman, a legendary libertarian economist, who first proposed it. And the appeal to conservatives is that this, as opposed to a variety of different welfare programs, which are typically means-tested and often restricted to particular commodities, food stamps, for example, the negative income tax has the advantage that it does not require a bureaucratic administrative system to determine who gets what and why and how much. And it does not stigmatize people as being or patronize people by telling them what sorts of goods and services they should consume. Instead, it leaves it up to the individual to decide what he or she should do. So from a conservative perspective, it has the advantage of stressing individual responsibility and of not stigmatizing or patronizing people, and finally of not having to establish a complicated administrative process which uses up a lot of resources before the people who really need the resources can receive them.
And the tried and true kinds of government programs for low-income people that we are aware of now and that we are using quite often penalize people for working, right? Because if they make above a certain level, oh, well, you lose the government help. So this would take care of that problem.
You're exactly right, and that's another big appeal of the program, that it doesn't require that as you gain employment or as you gain income by one means or another, you give up some of the benefits that you have gotten because you were without those advantages. So, yeah, it's a system that rewards people for increasing their effort, whether it's in the workplace or to improve their lives in other ways, and does not penalize them as they get better off.
How could something like this basic income grant have a positive effect on a city's or a state's or a country's economy?
Well, for the economy as a whole, I think here we need to look at two different contexts in which this kind of proposal has been discussed. On the one hand, there's the kind of utopian notion, a very long-run concept, that as the world changes, as economic conditions change, we're concerned that automation and other contemporary developments will eventually reduce the need for labor and for paying workers, and will create huge problems of unemployment and as well inadequate wages. And in that context, you really need to look for an alternative way to organize society such that everyone can have a chance at thriving. The other context is a much narrower one, and that is a concern about the difficulties and problems with the way in which social welfare programs have been administered and operated in the contemporary scene. Two problems that have affected social benefits payments in the more affluent countries of the world. One is that, especially in our own country, they've been declining, so that provisions for the poor and the unemployed are nowhere near as generous as they were a few decades back. And the other is that they have been getting increasingly complex, and it's been difficult to apply the means-tested programs, and they've had these disincentive effects that you described earlier. So as a practical matter, and in the short run, the most likely context in which we're going to see the basic income grant idea spread is by replacing and improving current social welfare programs. And indeed, there's a number of countries in which these kinds of programs are being considered for exactly that reason. Some examples include Canada, Scotland, the Netherlands, as well as Finland that I mentioned earlier. And so in that context, what's involved essentially is replacing existing welfare programs with an alternative program that is more in line with the basic income grant concept, in the sense that it provides cash and relies on the individual to decide for herself or himself how to spend that cash, rather than restricting benefits to particular commodities. And the second feature of the program is that it provides benefits to the wider population, or to a broad segment of population, rather than to a strictly means-tested segment. And that reduces administrative and bureaucratic problems.
Could it actually work in Michigan?
I think it could. There are a number of, Michigan, like every other state, has a number of programs that provide social benefits to its citizens. They have been plagued by problems of administration and bureaucracy, and most welfare programs in Michigan are partly financed federally and to some extent by the state. The state could certainly find ways to save money and to improve the delivery of social welfare benefits by passing legislation that would replace some of the means-tested programs with alternatives based on an income grant. Another specific suggestion that's been made, and I think makes a lot of sense, is to replace the income tax deduction for children and instead provide a monthly check for every child. This would equalize the benefit across income classes. It would cut child poverty. And indeed, it would follow the example of many other affluent countries that provide benefits on a per-child basis. Finally, one of the advantages of this kind of program is that in order to maintain political support, it's necessary for a program to have a wide base. And one of the reasons that welfare benefits have been cut so much in recent decades is that they're seen as going only to a small segment of the population that is often not held in high regard by the rest of the population. And so programs like Social Security and Medicare, which have a very wide base of support, that's because they provide something for everybody. Whereas programs like Aid for Dependent Children in the old days and welfare benefits nowadays as well, which go only to most of the poorest or only to the unemployed, are not seen as politically popular or necessary and therefore are hard to maintain. So the idea of a basic income grant can be applied at the state and local level, just as it can be applied at the national level. There are ways to do it in the short run as well as in the very long run.
And I guess that leads to wondering how something that is a very intriguing concept and a promising concept, how you get that up the mountain to actually become policy.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and this is always the dilemma with policies. You can recommend the most beautiful programs, but unless there is popular support, unless there are politicians who find that this is an issue that they can run on, it's not going to get anywhere. One very intriguing idea I wanted to mention is that, going back to the Alaska example, if we're talking about a grant to everybody in the state, let's say the state of Michigan or everybody in the country, the question, of course, is where do you get the money to do that? It would certainly cost more than current welfare programs, benefit programs, and therefore you've got to find a new source of revenues. One that has been suggested is to link it to a cap-and-trade program, or whether it would be done at a national level. You could finance fairly generous income grant out of revenues from a carbon tax, and this would fulfill the need for a revenue-neutral carbon tax. In other words, one in which the taxes would be there to discourage excessive carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and the proceeds would go back to people in the form of an income grant, essentially to compensate them for the extra cost of the carbon tax.
The next idea, a basic income grant, as we've been talking with Thomas Weisskopf, Professor Emeritus of Economics at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much for being with us on The Next Idea.
You're very welcome.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.